I listened to a sermon this week, and the guy preaching, Hugh, made me think of this when he said, "What are we singing?" And I said, "What do you want to sing?" And he said, "Whatever Helen wants me to sing." And that made me think of this guy who was preaching, and he said, and you guys will get this, who was the most important person in the Bible? Jesus. He didn't say in the Bible. He said, who's the most important person that ever lived? And, of course, being in church, everybody says Jesus. And then he says, who's the second most important person that ever lived? And one person out there yelled, my wife. He said, that man is a genius. That wasn't what the preacher was looking for. Who do you think the preacher was looking for? Second most important person that ever lived. Adam. Be hard to say there was anyone other than Jesus more important than Adam, right? God created Adam in the beginning. All right, and then it was all downhill from there, right? Well, our scripture today is from the book of Ephesians. Ephesians is one of the... It's weird because we say it's from the book of Ephesians. Well, Ephesians was nothing more at one time than a letter. It was the letter to the... Who do you think? Ephesians. It was a letter to the Ephesians. And what... the church did, the very early church did, is they took the books that they were using, they took the letters and the writings that they were using to teach about Jesus, and eventually these things were what they call canonized. They were made official. These are our official teachings that we're going to use to teach people about Jesus. Did you know that's how the Bible was formed? And it wasn't a top-down type of thing. It wasn't that you have a bishop or somebody who says, okay, a pope doing these things and making a cross and saying, I say that we're going to use these books. No, what they did is they took the books that everybody was already using, the letters, the writings, that everybody was already using to teach about Jesus, and they said, these are what we're going to say, this is how we're going to officially teach about Jesus, is through these writings. So, the book of Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, those were letters and writings, and the church said, we're already using these to teach about Jesus, so let's make it official. And they said, okay, we're going to make it official. And there were some things that were excluded, and some things that were included. In the 1500s, Martin Luther said he didn't think the book of James should be in there. Well, by this time, it was pretty much already set. He didn't think the book of Revelation should be in there. But we have what we have, and with man's errors, in spite of all that, you have to believe that this is what God wanted us to be studying right now, right? And so this that we're studying right now, it's the book of Ephesians, we call it. It was originally a letter that Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus. And Paul writes this letter from prison. So this is known as one of Paul's prison letters. And Paul had been in prison for 2 years in Caesarea and then 3 years in Rome. So Paul's been at this point in prison for 5 years. And he's writing this letter to the church in Ephesus. And the church in Ephesus... You know, we act like our society has the corner on the market on immorality. And some people don't. Some people think everything that's going on in the world is in our country is just awesome and you know, we're not judgmental, we're becoming less judgmental. Anytime anything offends anybody, we get rid of it, right? They haven't got rid of me here yet, but some people are working on it. It's a joke. Preacher joke. Paul's writing to these people who are living in an immoral society. It's the early church. It's less than 100 years after Jesus was born and died. And Paul's writing to these people, and he's writing from prison to remind them who they are in Christ. And he writes this letter, and we'll go to it now. Ephesians chapter 1, starting with verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Who's this written to? The faithful in Christ Jesus. Is it written to the non-believers? No. Everything that I'm going to be preaching for the next 20 minutes or so is written to believers. Paul's writing this to believers. To the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. And this is a problem that many in the modern church, this is something that many in the modern church have a problem with, but if you are in Christ, if you have made things, if you have made an agreement with Christ, you come into my heart and my life, control me, I want to give my life to you, save me from my sin. If you have done that, then the gospel refers to you as a saint. No matter what your neighbor may say, no matter what your in-laws may say, no matter what your spouse may say once in a while about you. Sometimes preachers will address the church and they'll say, "Hello, saints." And a few people will say hello, and then they'll say what? "Hello, sinners." And a lot more people say, "Hello." Let's try it. "Hello, saints." "Hello, sinners." Yeah. Well, we're all sinners until we're saints. So, to the saints of Ephesus, to the church, to people just like you, living in a society that, you know, every society, every generation thinks that they're a lot worse off than the people before them. "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." Gosh, I could talk so much about every verse here, but we're just going to go through it. But that last verse, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." Way back when, philosophers, astronomers, astrologers and philosophers, they thought the earth was one realm, and then when you died, your spirit would go to another realm, which was just like another planet. And then heaven was a realm above those realms. And so when Paul's writing, he would have been writing to people who would have understood the heavenly realms. It's not just this realm, the next realm. It's the heavenly realms. There's just so much here. "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight." Remember the word chosen. You're not going to be quizzed on it, but I'm going to talk about it. "He predestined us to be adopted." Remember adopted. "He predestined us to be adopted as his sons," and we would say today, "and daughters, through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have," everybody say redemption. Redemption. "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace, that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of His glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. It is my prayer that that was just a lot of reading, and I've plucked out a few words from this. I know how much most of you read the Bible. Okay? And I'm not a prophet. I'm not psychic. But I know how much most of you read the Bible. And a few of you read it a lot. And a lot of people don't read it much. But I encourage you, on your phone, or go home and pick up an actual book, Bible. Reread this after the sermon today, okay? Ephesians, the first 14 verses of Ephesians. Sometimes I just wonder even about the wisdom of just reading 14 verses of Scripture, and I know I'm not very good at it because I talk and explain things along the way, but I just feel like sometimes you just read 14 and people, it's like, and you know what I'm talking about. Okay, so I've picked out some words out of here. You know who it was written to. You know the circumstances. See, already you know who it was written to, the circumstances in which it was written, by a guy who was in prison, to a people who were in an immoral society. And Paul is reminding the people who they are in Christ. Okay? The world reminds you who you are in the world. The world reminds you, and we often take our cues from the world on who we are. Tons of people in here have Facebook. Do you ever click like on anyone's stuff? Just be honest. Do you ever click like on anyone's stuff just because you know it's going to make them feel good? Seriously, head's gone. You just know, oh, Lord, poor Angie. She only has 2 likes on this picture of Gage and Keek. Isn't that what you call her? She only has 2 likes on this picture of Gage and Keeky. Oh, I need to click on that because that's going to make her feel better, right? And likewise, we... Oh, my lands. I put this awesome thing on Facebook and only 2 people liked it. I'm so depressed. And we laugh, but we take our cue from that. It's not a laughing situation for kids, is it, teachers? They see their value in how many likes they get. Sometimes I post things that I know there's going to be 8 people like. Because most people don't have the guts to like it. But Beth Foreman, she's going to like it. And Cynthia Jordan's mom, whatever her name is, she's going to like it. My friend George Ortiz from Providence, Rhode Island, he's going to like it. Because he doesn't care what the world thinks. He's like me. Oh, just to get to the point where you just put something out there. You put a picture of Deep Creek Lake. And you have to get a picture, you know, I have to get a picture of Diane where she looks just right. Wives, say amen. Is this one okay to put on there, honey? Men, don't leave me hanging out here alone. Logan, are you there yet? I don't mean you. I meant with Gabby. Gabby, are you there yet? Because we want everybody to think well of us. And Paul says, none of that matters. None of it matters. There's one who thinks well of you if you are in Christ. There's, matter of fact, he's got these words that he uses. Chosen. I can't believe that I remember this, but I remember like three things about elementary school. I remember this fire escape that you used to have to walk out on, and then the fire escape would go down, and this big weight would go. Does anybody have one of those? Like, we were on the third floor of the elementary school, and there was a fire escape, and Miss Spry always went out and stood on it, and I'm not going to tell you anything about Miss Spry, other than she could make the weight go up on the fire escape. I remember that as a little kid. I remember dodgeball in gym. And I remember a dance. Like, gym, don't you guys, like,
don't you think of, like, dodgeball and stuff when you think of gym? Like,
when I was little and we had gym, it was like false advertising because you took gym and they made you dance. Do they still do that? They made you dance in gym class. And I remember this one time when the girls got to pick the boys who they wanted to dance with. I remember three things about elementary school. And one of the three things I remember is I didn't get picked. Now, they would never do that today because there's kids who aren't going to get picked. That was me. Logan, you would get picked. No? Okay. Paul reminds you that God has chosen you. Now, some might argue that God has chosen everyone, but everyone hasn't chosen God. That's a good thought, right? I don't know how it all works. But you who are in Christ, God has chosen you. Two, Paul says, you're adopted into the family. Now, some preachers might argue, you're blood relation, because Jesus' blood. But Paul says, you're adopted into the family. Has anybody ever watched that show, What Would You Do with John Quinones? You like that show? What Would You Do? Well, it was on in the last night or two, and it's sort of like a candid camera for you people who haven't seen it but are older and you know what candid camera is. It's sort of like me. It's sort of like candid camera. They have a couple actors, and they stage this thing. And so they staged this thing just in the last night or two on that show where there was a white girl who was about 12, and then there was a Chinese girl who was about 9 or 10, the little sister, who had been adopted. And they had the white older girl be really mean to the younger Chinese girl and talk in such a way that everybody understood who was standing around, who wasn't privy to this, that this girl was adopted, that her parents had gone, my mom should have never went to China and got you, and the girl saying that kind of thing to make it clear that. And so then they wanted to see if people who were standing around would intervene. And this one person, when the older girl walked out, said to the 9 or 10-year-old Chinese girl, who was now American and been adopted by American family, you know what, honey? They chose you. They didn't choose her. You've probably heard that before. Kids who are adopted, they think that's a bad thing. Good Lord! Anybody who's adopted, you were picked. Right? God says, through Paul, you are adopted. So you're chosen, and he loves you so much that he brings you into his family. Isn't that good news for those in Christ? You know, Paul says in Christ, did I tell you how many times? I preached three times on Sunday morning now. I can't remember who I said what. Did I tell you how many times Paul says this? 30 times. In Ephesians, it's a small book, and 30 times Paul says, in Christ, in Him, or in whom. 30 times. You who are in Christ are chosen, you're adopted, you're accepted. Listen, accepted doesn't mean what society says it means today. Society says that accepted means you can come to Christ, He accepts you just as you are, that part's true. But the second part that we don't like to say is, He loves you too much to leave you that way. He loves you so much that He's going to change you. If you didn't need change, you wouldn't need Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
If you didn't need changed, you wouldn't need Jesus. You'd already be perfect. And Scripture says none are. Accepted. Nate Streetbeck shared this thing, and Nate's never on Facebook, and he never posts anything. So if he posts something, it's like that E.F. Hutton commercial for you older people like me. When Nate says something, I listen. And so he posted this thing on Facebook, and I didn't know what it was. It's that show with Howard Stern, but I found out it's America's Got Talent. And there was this young man the young man explains, I was playing ball, I got hit with the ball, turns out I had a concussion and I didn't know it, and apparently you're not supposed to go to sleep if you have a concussion, and most people know that. And I always say, what happens if you go to sleep with a concussion? Well, what happened to this young man is he woke up and it did something so that he has now a stuttering problem. He can't speak without stuttering, and most of you know what stuttering means. You know what stuttering means? And so he to deal with it, he starts sort of making light of it, making fun of himself. And so he does a comedy routine based on his stuttering, and he said, you know, sometimes people talk about their voices maybe being on a GPS. They could never put me on a GPS. He said, in recalculating. Seems like a great kid. Probably, I think he was in his early 20s now. Here's what he said. He said, the person that I was before this happened to me would have never hung around with the person I am now. Isn't that a powerful statement for a 22-year-old or 23-year-old to make? The person who I was before this happened to me would never hang around with the type of person I am now. Here's the thing about us. I'm not that awesome. And thank you for not saying amen. But God thinks I am. And that just says how awesome He is. Do you get that? It's like, I know what I've done. You don't know what I've done in my life. I know what I've done in my life. And God chooses me. He accepts me. He adopts me. And you too, if you're in Christ. Let me cover a couple more here. Redeemed by the blood of Christ on the cross. Paul says you have an inheritance. I've got a good story here about an inheritance. Paul says you have an inheritance. And if you've been zoning out, zone back in now, because this is going to be funny. And you got to pay attention to get it in the end. There were these two brothers, and they inherited this farm. And it went okay for a while, but then after a couple years, they fell on hard times, and they did some accounting, and they found out all they had left of their name was $600. Well, the one brother said, you know, it's just going to be hard for us, but we need to buy a bull. That's the only way out of this is to buy a bull. So we need to buy a bull. You need to drive and drive the car because it gets better gas mileage. And because I don't want to waste a trip in the truck if we don't buy a bull. So this is an old story, old time, before cell phones or anything. And so the guy drives and he finds a bull. And how much money does he have? Do you remember? $600. And the bull is $599. So he pays $599 for the bull. He's got $1 left, and he's got to wire back to his brother to tell him. So he goes into the Western Union office, and you young people don't know what this is, but they used to send things, and they would type it out, and they would send it, this thing called Western Union, and then you would get the message on the other end. And so he has to Western Union his brother. And he goes into the Western Union office and he says, this is a lot thing for an inheritance story, but it's funny. And so he walks in and he says to the Western Union person, I need to tell my brother that he needs to bring the truck and the trailer out here because I just bought a bull that's going to save our farm, and I've got $1. And the guy says, well, I'm sorry, it's 99 cents a word, so you got enough money for one word. So the guy's thinking, and he says, okay, he says, send my brother this word, comfortable, C-O-M-F-O-R-T-A-B-L-E, comfortable. And the guy says, I don't understand how he's going to know all that you just told me if I send him the word comfortable. And he said, my brother will read it really slow. Do I have to explain it to anyone? Comfortable. 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 You have an inheritance. Did you know that? I got another really good bull joke, but I can't tell it in church, I don't think. But you see me out sometime at Walmart or something, ask me about it. It's not that bad. I told it at 9:30 church. You have an inheritance. Did you know that? Now, when you have an inheritance, do you get all your, if we always think of money and property and stuff, do you get it all right now? No. You might get some of it now, right? You have an inheritance. One day, no more tears, no more sorrow, no more suffering, no more cancer, no more worrying about what other people think about you. One day, you in heaven with Jesus. That's what you're going to inherit. For right now, it's an almost but not yet. We've got a little bit of it. Matter of fact, Paul later says that you have a... This is a King James word. It's an earnest money. Do you know what earnest money is? That's money that you put down in advance if you're going to buy something, just to show I'm serious. God has given you an earnest down payment on your salvation. You're saved, yes, but salvation doesn't mean all of a sudden more people fall away from Christ because they are under the impression that getting saved means all of a sudden all my problems are going to go away. My husband's going to be a good husband. My wife's going to be a good wife. My kids are all of a sudden going to start doing their homework, and I'm not going to have to bug them about it. And that's not what becoming a Christian means. It means, Lord, help me deal with this. Paul writes all this to remind people just like me and you that the world you live in and the struggles you face, those things all pale in comparison to what you have awaiting for you. But it's only when you are in Christ. See why I said the next 20 minutes or however long was just going to be for people who are in Christ? Because if you're not in Christ, I can show you scripture after scripture after scripture that says you're an enemy of God. And people don't like to hear that. God loves everybody. God doesn't hate anybody. I can show you lots of scripture that says, if not for your relationship with Christ, you're an enemy of God. I was at one time an enemy of God. Even if he didn't call me his enemy, I would call him my enemy. So let me pray. God, I thank you so much for this time together that we have been able to study just a little bit of the, just a touch on the tip of what Paul was trying to get across to the Ephesians, of who, to, for them to picture themselves as who they were in Christ, forgiven, loved, redeemed, chosen, accepted, adopted. And when we start to think less of ourselves than we should, and we do, Lord, you know we do, pray that you would remind us who we are. Pray that you would remind us and help us to see ourselves once in a while through your eyes. Someone worth dying for. Because that is who you see us as. Now, for those who, Lord, would not say that they are in Christ, I pray today that they have heard a salvation message and they want those things and they want Christ. And if they do, Lord, I pray that you would help them to understand it doesn't matter what they've done. Oh, Lord, if I'm talking to someone here, help them right now to understand it doesn't matter what they've done, that you love them, that you have chosen them, and that you want to adopt them into your family, and that you will forgive them and redeem them because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross, because he took the penalty that we were due. And if that's someone here today, Lord, hear their prayer. Lord, forgive me. I do believe that I need Jesus and I want Jesus. And I want my sins to be forgiven and I confess of my sins. Make me new. Take me into your family. And for the rest of us, Lord, who would already consider ourselves part of your family, help us to treat each other as brothers and sisters. Help us to encourage each other. And help us to remember your love for us. Give you thanks and praise in Christ's name. Amen.